So as Tiffany said, my name's Wyatt Hoback, and I actually have a joint appointment between University of Nebraska-Kearney, which is a undergraduate institution of about 6,000 students. We also have a master's program, and the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Department of Entomology. And so when Tiffany approached me about this subject, the topic was generally requiring undergraduate research as a component of a biology degree. And as I thought about that, I thought there's a lot of different ways that I can approach this question. I thought about when I was an undergraduate student at a small liberal arts college in Virginia, undergraduate research was a requirement. And now as a professor at the University of Nebraska-Kearney, we require it of all of our students. And that undergraduate requirement, for me, really helped galvanize the areas that I'm interested in. As an undergraduate in Virginia, I worked on a federally endangered insect species, and that work has carried over into my professional career. Well, Tiffany gave me some guidelines as to what I should cover, and one of the guidelines was, why is it important as part of the core? And I think Tiffany did a very good job of summarizing why most people feel that independent research is important to the core of a degree in science. Basically, it develops the student's ability to conduct and analyze and be a scientist. A couple brief examples of projects, how it impacts recruitment and retention, some assessment data. So, do the students benefit from the projects? And what have we as a biology department done to improve the undergraduate research experience? So hopefully, in training undergraduates in biology, they're not left with the question upon graduation of now what. The undergraduate research experience should confirm that they want to be a biologist and want to seek out experiences doing science, or maybe not so bad either, figure out that they really don't like their major and they never want to do science again. Either way, we think it benefits students to have that experience struggling through a project, problem solving, and collecting data. So this is a picture of an undergraduate named Joe, and he's out in the middle of a potato field, and he's collecting leaf area data using a LIGCOR instrument that costs several thousand dollars. And this really epitomizes what an undergraduate project is about. So it's independent. He's out in that potato field by himself. He needs to make decisions about reentry times if any pesticides have been sprayed. He needs to know what he's doing in collecting data, and he needs to be trusted not to lose the data or the instrument. Okay. Beyond that, Joe needs to have some training in how to collect data, how many samples are needed, and the type of question he's asking. And so when we think about this as a requirement of a degree program, there's some significant considerations that have to be made. As a department, we asked ourselves, are students prepared to do scientific research? Now, it's been a requirement in our department since 1989, and we examined this question in 2005, so long overdue. We took a very hard look at undergraduate core courses, and we asked ourselves, do these courses prepare students to be scientists? For example, how many of our core courses require students to get primary literature, read that information, and synthesize it? And the answer, of course, was very little. Our courses are driven by content. We already don't have enough time to teach the students what they absolutely have to know about ecology, genetics, etc., to also expect that they can read the literature. Are they able to formulate a research idea? Well, without knowing the primary literature and the direction that science is moving in, students struggle with that question. Some of them fall back on high school science fair project ideas. And at the college level, those are generally not sufficient. How much experience do they have with experimental design? How much do the faculty know about minimum sample size? What are the constraints? If they collect the data, do they do it in such a way that analysis is possible? All of our undergraduates are required to take a statistics course, 200 level statistics, taught in the math department, very little application to biology, almost nothing that helps them analyze data. Okay? They have a passing knowledge of Excel, and that's about it. And so how can we expect them to do better than that? Can they make figures? Again, they have experience with Excel, but many scientific publications require experiences with SigmaPlot or other graphing software, things that make error bars, for example. How about their scientific writing skills? Most of our classes are large by small college standards, 25 to 40 students. Not a lot of opportunities to develop lab reports and really go through the process of writing, especially their own data. So, from the standpoint of student preparedness, we also have to think about, is the department prepared to require independent research projects of all students? And are we able to help them? So this cartoon has professor. They said he had to post his office hours, but they didn't say where. And he's shooting his office hours up to the ceiling. If we have faculty that really don't buy into this whole idea, they're going to be hard to reach by the students. We may need to provide additional courses. How does that fit in with the overall major? Support. Who's going to pay for what they need? How are faculty going to be credited in terms of load? And that darn word assessment. We think we're doing a good job, but administration now requires that we prove it and show that not only are we collecting assessment data, we're also acting on the data that we get to make improvements to the program. And that's probably things that you will all face if you haven't already. In terms of UNK's niche, we are the premier undergraduate residential university of the state of Nebraska. And one of the things that we sell is the undergraduate research experience. And you notice on their homepage, you'll hear a biology major talking. Biology is the number one thing mentioned in their recruitment. So we kind of have the forces from above telling us to do a good job and prove that we're doing a good job. In terms of our overall program, it's probably very similar to ones that you're involved with currently. We try to model our programs after small college approach, liberal arts education. We in the Department of Biology have about 45 majors graduate each year, and they're split among 16 faculty members. Excuse me. Research advisors are going to mentor individual students, and there are funds available through the university in the amount of $350 for supplies or $300 for travel support, either to the field or to a meeting to present data. The capstone of the research experience is a class called Biology 420, and students are required to take 2 credit hours of 420. They tend to take that in their senior year, and we try to force them to take it across the entire senior year. So 1 hour in the fall, 1 in the spring. Each week, the students fill out their data in a notebook, and at the end, they create a written document, a paper, they create a PowerPoint presentation and give an oral presentation, and they create a poster. Our department has a large printer that prints 42-inch wide paper, and so students make posters. They usually present those posters at Student Research Day on campus or at various regional meetings. The effects of our 420 projects are to really increase student awareness of science and confidence in being scientists. Our students often attend meetings. I take everyone that works on entomology projects to the North Central Branch ESA meetings. I'd like to bring them to nationals, but usually the costs are prohibitive. At the regional meetings, the students compete, and very often our students win first or second place, even if they're undergraduates competing against master's level students. Often these students turn into our future grad students, either at UNK or going on to other programs. And in some cases, we've had undergraduate research projects turn into peer-reviewed publications. These publications include places like the Journal of Insect Behavior, but also outlets in teaching journals. So Biocene, and some others. BioScene is part of the Association of Biology Laboratory Educators. Beyond possibility of publication, our students get to work with regional offices, Fish and Wildlife Service, Environmental Protection Agency, Game and Parks, and they get to use equipment and tools in field situations. So when they go to apply for internships or real jobs, they have experiences that they can fall back on and explain to employers. So we feel that this is a very important, successful part of our program. And hopefully with that little bit of background, I've convinced you that your department needs to be doing undergraduate research projects and maybe even making it a requirement. So what are the impediments to doing that? Need to examine the structure of your program. At UNK, a minimum number of hours is 125 to earn a degree. Of those, 40 hours have to be upper division. Now when you read the minimum, what you really should do is make that a maximum, because students are shopping. And if your program requires 140 hours, but they can earn a BS degree in another department or another program for 125, they'll take the 125 option. So in our experience, if you modify the required courses, you need to still be under the cap. So after doing a program assessment, we changed the core curriculum of the biology program. We added some classes, we also removed some classes. First thing we did was add a 201, so first semester sophomores, a tools for biological studies. Made this a lab lecture-based course. Students design experiments, collect data on mealworms, analyze the data, gain some experience with Excel in terms of graphing. They also are required to read some scientific journal articles. As juniors, they're required to take scientific communication, again to work on scientific writing. And then as seniors, they take that one or two semester, two credit hour biology 420. Since we implemented this 2 years ago, we've seen a vast improvement in the students' ability to do a 420 project and to do it well. Before these classes, we were giving the students lots of content, but not a lot of experiential learning. So, you have to make sure your students are prepared, and then you have to deal with everything else. And the everything else is faculty time, who gets credit, how is that handled, what resources are available from your department, from the college, from external sources. Some of those needs include publication costs, where it's not uncommon to spend $500 to $600 to publish a peer-reviewed article. Administration. Who's going to do the organizing of the students? Who's responsible for grading them? What if opinions differ? And then, of course, assessment from above. The way we do it, we have a single faculty member in charge of all 420 students, and he serves as a clearinghouse. He meets all the students once a week, checks their notebooks, sees if their faculty mentor has signed off, so they've met with their faculty mentor. He's the only person to get the credit load. As part of that, he has a mentoring contract. Students take and get that signed by their mentor. This helps spread out the students across the faculty members. Like you're probably familiar with, among our faculty, some mentor a lot of 420 students, some none at all. So although we have 16 faculty, about 10 frequently participate in the program. Again, they go in to meet, check communication with the mentors, and the mentors are also expected to meet with their students at least once a week, just to make sure that the research is progressing. In terms of paying students, some students are funded through external grants, so their 420 project is a job. Others are able to apply for the internal grants to cover materials, supplies, travel money. And UNK is about the best university I've ever been at in terms of providing support for undergraduates. They frequently pay for research supplies, travel to meetings, etc. May vary for your university, but you need to figure out if students are doing molecular biology, who's paying for all those reagents. At the end, we have between 15 and maybe 25 students present. We organize a research symposium. In this case, we split it from Friday to Saturday. Faculty are expected to show up, attend the seminars. They all get evaluation forms and evaluate the student performance in the oral portion. Those forms look like this. We use the term rubric, probably familiar with that. Basically, it is a way to rank students and get a total number of points, 5 for excellent, 1 for poor. A bunch of different faculty doing that, you get an average of the performance of the student. They're judged not only on their slide quality, scholarly quality, voice delivery, contact with class, poise, etc. There's also rubrics available to judge their papers. This is done by their faculty mentor and also the faculty member in charge of all 420 students. So there's a grade sheet that adds up to 100 points. And for the poster, again, the faculty mentor and the person in charge of all 420 students fills that out. The overall grade in 420 is based on those three rubrics. And so our faculty attend the presentation, they grade all the students, we get means that are created. This is the most recent results. So the best student scored a 93, the worst student was rated an average of an 82, and we have some meaningful data that we can look at. We've been tracking this for 4 semesters now. Our numbers have improved generally across semesters. When we first started with this, before students had the tools class, our averages were in the 70s, low 70s. We also evaluate our program by getting student feedback. So we've done direct measures, students doing, or faculty rather, grading the presentations. Student surveys ask questions of the students about their research experience. There's 7 questions that we ask. I'll show you these questions again when I present the data, but they read, stimulated thinking, fostered enthusiasm for the major, were they prepared or not, courses were valuable, the work was evaluated by a process consistent with peer review in the sciences, confidence in public speaking enhancing was speaking and presentation were enhanced, and the process fostered my inquiry skills. These are the data from last year. And the first question, so questions down here, I'll repeat the question up top so you can get a feel for it. 100% of the students said that the 420 experience stimulated their thinking. That's pretty good. A vast majority of them said that the 420 project stimulated or fostered their enthusiasm for the biology major. Again, these are means plus or minus the standard deviation. The third question, they were prepared for the biology challenge. There was more variability. Students averaged about a 3.5 on a 5-point scale. And so we're still tweaking our sequence of classes to try to improve at least students' confidence in being prepared. They rated the classes as very valuable to the completion of their project. They felt that their project was evaluated in the way that scientists evaluate the sciences. Confidence in public speaking, again, scored right around a 4, fairly large standard deviation. In some ways, this is a problem at our university, where students are exposed to a single public speaking class, usually when they're freshmen, and students lack confidence in speaking in front of a bunch of faculty members. So that is something I'm not sure our program can really deal with. And lastly, the project fostered their inquiry skills. So our assessment data are pretty positive. They seem to show that our 420 project is valuable, that it's giving students a different type of experience. So we interpret these data to show that the 420 project is a valuable part of our program. It does help with recruitment. We give tours to students. We show the posters hanging in the hall every semester. We have pictures of all the 420 students and the faculty mentors. And as students visit our campus, we show them that and talk about what the research experience will lead to. We think it's important as a capstone course for majoring in science. There are, of course, some sacrifices. Most notable is faculty time. There's no good way to be fair in terms of course load. We don't have a mechanism to have 15 faculty get one credit hour of 420, even if they have one or three students. It has taken some resources, specifically lab space. We need areas that the students can actually work. And we've had to give up part of the content of our major. We had to reduce one required class and substitute it for those other tools. If you're interested in the assessment, and I know many people are not interested, but are required to try to come up with a system to do it, all of our assessment data is online, forms, our reports, everything that I talked about and showed. With that, thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer questions. So the question is, how do we give faculty credit? And basically, we don't on a measurable way. We try to reduce the amount of the workload for faculty mentors by running all the students through a single faculty member in terms of organization. There is, on paper, the idea that you get release time if you have 20, 420 students over a period of time. So it's a cumulative. Once you get to 20, you're supposed to get a reduction in course load. That's not happened in my experience, but it's on paper as a possibility. So that's our biggest struggle. Faculty generally enjoy the experience, and so most people are willing to take it out of Hyde a little bit. But that's one of the biggest impediments.
But it does lead to more publications.
It certainly does, especially if you string together a series of undergraduate projects. You can basically have a master's student, and so you can get publications, maybe preliminary data for grant proposals. And from that standpoint, it's very valuable. We do have those data. At least from my experience since 99, we've had 12 peer-reviewed articles accepted. So, other questions? Yes, sir.
At the end, you said that the students do presentations and posters. Do they get training as part of the coursework and how to do that?
Yes. The question was, the students doing posters and presentations, do they get training? They do in that tools course as sophomores, and then in the scientific writing course as juniors, and then they get individual help with faculty members for seniors. One last question.
Can you give the students the choice as to what kind of widgets they want to get involved in, and assign those students up using the right.
So the question is, how do the students choose the research they're interested in, and how do they get assigned to faculty members? Right now, in our tools class, they get introduced to the research that's being done in the department, and then as part of their scientific communication, they visit with faculty members, see which projects are available, and if they're willing to mentor the students. So we try to have it as a interplay between student desires and faculty time, and both have to agree to do the project.